This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
We are here today because we've received confirmation of the sequencing of the virus in Cabo Verde by the Institut de Pasteur of Dakar in Senegal. It confirms that the Zika virus strain that's currently circulating in Cabo Verde is the same as the one circulating in the Americas, which is the Asian type.
That's World Health Organization Regional Director for Africa saying the continent faces the threat of a new strain of the Zika virus. Details coming up. Also, Egypt says it has found personal belongings of the passengers from the downed Egypt Air Flight 804 in the Mediterranean Sea. And in Nigeria, authorities identify a second schoolgirl rescued from Boko Haram this week after initial confusion over her identity. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, an oil slick has been spotted in the Mediterranean near where an Egyptian jetliner is believed to have crashed yesterday. 66 people on board are assumed dead. A European Space Agency satellite took an image of the slick, which is about 2 kilometers long. It was found about 40 kilometers south of the last known location of the aircraft. Also, Egyptian authorities have spotted debris believed to be from the Airbus A320 aircraft, as well as some human remains, seats, and suitcases. They were found 306 kilometers north of the city of Alexandria. The Egyptian plane was flying from Paris to Cairo when it disappeared yesterday. The cause of the crash is still not known, and the flight recorders have yet to be found. Investigators refuse to speculate, despite much talk yesterday of a possible terrorist attack. The World Health Organization has confirmed that the Zika virus outbreak in Cape Verde is the same strain that's circulating in the Americas. Dr. Matshidiso Moeti, the WHO Regional Director for Africa, made the announcement today.
In Cape Verde, we have had this outbreak of cases going on since last year. The first case was detected in October last year. And cumulatively, we've had about 7,500 suspected cases, which have peaked and been reduced. We are now seeing reported single-figure cases per week. So I think Cabo Verde is coming on top of the situation. Among these have been 180 suspected cases among pregnant women, 19 of which were confirmed, and Cabo Verde has reported 3 cases of microcephaly.
She also said the particular strain of the Zika virus has been identified.
We are here today because we've received confirmation of the sequencing of the virus in Cabo Verde by the Institut de Pasteur of Dakar in Senegal. It confirms that the Zika virus strain that's currently circulating in Cabo Verde is the same as the one circulating in the Americas, which is the Asian type. This is the first time that this strain of the Zika virus, which has been shown to cause neurological disorders, microcephaly, and the Guillain-Barré syndrome, has been detected in Africa. The findings are of concern because it's further proof that this strain is spreading beyond South America and is on the doorstep of Africa. This just emerged information will help African countries to reevaluate their level of risk and adapt and increase their level of preparedness.
Dr. Moeti outlined what African countries should do in the wake of the news about Zika.
As a first step, countries should heighten risk communication in order to raise the public's awareness of complications associated with Zika virus disease and to promote protection at the individual level to avoid mosquito bites as well as sexual transmission of the virus. My office will work with member states to update our identification of high-risk countries and urge and support them to intensify preparedness and preventive and control measures. We'll continue to lead an engaged and expanded partnership, which includes UN agencies, bilateral partners, and some NGOs to support all countries to implement key interventions. These include improving surveillance for the detection of Zika infection, as well as congenital abnormalities such as microcephaly and neurological disorders like the Guillain-Barré syndrome. Laboratory capacity will also be strengthened across the region. We've worked with the US CDC to support 20 countries to be able to carry out laboratory diagnosis of Zika. This will be expanded.
That was Dr. Machidiosi Moeti, the WHO Regional Director for Africa. She confirmed today that the Zika virus outbreak in Cape Verde is linked to the virus circulating in the Americas. A UN Security Council delegation was in Kenya's capital today to discuss the government's decision to close a refugee camp housing more than 300,000 people. The meeting produced no breakthroughs, but an ambassador suggested Kenya will not take any rash actions. VOA's Jill Craig files from Nairobi.
One key point of the delegates' discussion was Kenya's recent announcement that it will close its Dadaab refugee camp, home to an estimated 330,000 people, most of them Somalis. Members of the United Nations Security Council spoke Friday at the UN office in Nairobi to discuss their meeting with Kenya's President Kenyatta, which took place earlier in the day. British Ambassador to the UN, Matthew Rycroft.
On the importance of Kenya fulfilling its international obligations. And that's an extremely important message which we passed on to the President of Kenya. And he was very clear in committing to abide by those international obligations.
The British ambassador also said that the Security Council is united in empathizing with the Kenyan authorities for their security work in the region and stands ready to assist. Kenya recently announced that it will close Dadaab primarily due to security threats. The country's interior ministry has said that Al-Shabaab militants have used the Dadaab camp to plan and train for attacks, like the one at Nairobi's Westgate Mall, where 67 people were killed in September 2013. The Security Council delegation stopped in Nairobi after a visit to the Somali capital, where they met with the Somali president, prime minister, and cabinet members, among others. They reiterated the importance of Somalia holding its elections in August as an important step toward combating terrorism. Jill Craig, VOA News, Nairobi.
Top Paris attack suspect Salah Abdeslam refused to talk during his first appearance before a judge at a court in Paris today. A French citizen who grew up in Belgium, Abdeslam is charged with terrorism and murder for the November attacks in the French capital that killed 130 people. VOA's Lisa Bryant has more.
Those who wanted to hear Salah Abdeslam explain his actions were disappointed since he remained silent in court. Abdeslam is believed to be the only direct participant in the November 13th terrorist attacks in Paris who is still alive.
Monsieur Abdeslam a souhaité ne pas parler aujourd'hui, faire usage de son droit au silence.
His lawyer, Franck Bertrand, said Abdeslam exercised his right to remain silent at the morning hearing in a Paris courthouse. He complained that a 24-hour video surveillance of Abdeslam's maximum security cell is taking a psychological toll on his client and called it illegal. Bertrand had previously said Abdeslam was eager to talk. He told reporters his client would choose the time to speak. Abdeslam arrived with a police motorcade for the closed-door hearing early Friday morning. This was his first appearance before judges since his extradition from Belgium last month. The 27-year-old Frenchman, born in Morocco, faces half a dozen terrorism charges as of now. Abdeslam's exact role in the Paris attacks is still unclear. The Paris prosecutor claims he abandoned plans to blow himself up like the other attackers, including his older brother, Brahim. He's also been tied to the bombers who attacked Brussels airport and the Belgian city's subway in March. After 4 months on the run, he was arrested just before the Brussels bombings. His Belgian lawyer has described Abdeslam as a moron with the intelligence of an ashtray and little knowledge of Islam. Media leaks of previous interrogations in Belgium suggest Abdeslam has lied and ducked questions.
On se dit c'est une personne qui manipule, qui ment,
Jean Reinhardt, one of the lawyers for the Paris victims, has described Abdeslam as a manipulator and liar. Anything he says, the lawyer told an interviewer, must be viewed with caution. Belgian broadcaster RTBF reported this week that Abdeslam posted an Islamic State group flag on his Facebook page 3 weeks before the Paris attacks. RTBF also reported that an informer had tipped off police as early as January 2015 that Abdeslam had been in touch with Abdelhamid Abaoud, considered a ringleader in November's attacks. Belgian authorities have acknowledged mistakes were made ahead of both the Paris and Brussels attacks. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
It was another busy week for rescuing migrants and refugees on the Mediterranean. The journey from North Africa to Italy is now their main route to Europe. The route from Turkey to Greece has been effectively shut down by a deal between Turkey and the European Union. That route was mainly used by Syrians, Afghans, and Iraqis. Reporter Antonella Sferraza has been monitoring rescue operations. From Palermo, Sicily, she spoke to VOA's Jody Capua.
In the last 7 days, 2,600 migrants have been rescued in the Mediterranean. 1,000 last Friday and 1,600 between Tuesday and Wednesday. A significant number of people, although the rough sea conditions has probably stopped many others. This operation rescues, according to the International Organization for Migration figures, take the total number of migrants arrived in Italy to 34,000. As far as their nationalities, they are mainly from sub-Saharan countries. And it has been officially denied that the last Friday Syrians were on board of migrants' boats. As we remember, the Italian Coast Guard, which orchestrated the various rescue missions, initially said most of the new arrivals appear to be from Syria. However, further checks showed that there were a large number of Egyptians, Somalis and Eritreans. What happened probably is that a group of Egyptians, once rescued, lied about their nationality in order to be immediately repatriated.
Antonella, I understand that Italy is considering some type of floating migrant reception center. Could you tell us about that idea?
The idea actually is not new, but the Interior Minister, Angelino Alfano, is launching again this idea. He announced plans to turn rescue ships into floating hotspot reception center for newcomers to register and to avoid also their escape, because as we know, many migrants try to escape from the reception center. Obviously, if they are in the middle of the sea, they cannot escape anymore. But it is very difficult to put into practice this idea. So at the moment, the European Union is considering the plan, is trying to find a practical solution to apply this plan, but at the moment it's just theory.
Antonella, do you have any idea how many vessels are patrolling the Mediterranean looking for migrants?
There are many ships patrolling the Mediterranean, the Italian Coast Guard, Frontex vessels, and other humanitarian organization vessels. It depends on the alarm that they receive. If they receive a call, a satellite call, indicating that there are boats adrift in the Mediterranean, you can have up to 15 patrol ships busy with rescues.
Who makes that call that migrants might be in danger?
Probably smugglers do the call, the satellite call. They call the Italian Coast Guard and they say, we are here in the middle of the Mediterranean, please come to help us. So the satellite phone call arrives usually from the boat of the migrants.
And then the smugglers leave after they make the call? They just leave the migrants on their own?
Sometimes they leave the migrants and they go away with another boat, but often it happens that the smugglers try to confuse themselves among the migrants. Sometimes they are identified, and in fact, last year, 1,700 smugglers have been arrested. It can happen also that a migrant can be forced to drive the boat. There are many cases in which very young migrants have been forced to drive the boat, and then when they arrive in Italy, they are arrested because all the other survivors say that he was the one who was driving the boat. So it's a very difficult issue to identify a real smuggler or just a guy who has been forced to drive the boat.
That's reporter Antonella Sferraza from Palermo. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua. In related news, Libya says 110 sub-Saharan African migrants were detained last night in Misrata before they boarded boats to Europe. This week, European security agencies estimated there were up to 800,000 migrants in Libya hoping to reach Europe. You're listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. 21 past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. Egypt says it has found personal belongings of the passengers and parts of the plane debris from the downed Egypt Air Flight 804 in the Mediterranean Sea. The World Health Organization Regional Director for Africa says the continent faces the threat of a new strain of the Zika virus. And a UN Security Council delegation was in Kenya's capital today to discuss the government's decision to close a refugee camp housing more than 300,000 people. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. The Nigerian army says a second schoolgirl kidnapped by Boko Haram militants more than 2 years ago in a raid on her school has been rescued. While the girl was a student at the Chibok school in Borno State, she was not among the more than 200 girls kidnapped from the school in April 2014. It is not known when she was abducted. Army spokesman Colonel Sani Osman identified her as Sarah Luka. Reuters says she was one of 97 women and children freed from captivity yesterday after fighting between soldiers and militants. On Tuesday, the first girl, 19-year-old Amina Ali, was found with her four-month-old baby by civilian vigilantes in the Sambisa Forest area of Borno State. President Muhammadu Buhari said yesterday that the government is doing all it can to rescue the remaining Chibok girls. The war against Boko Haram lent added significance to Cameroon's annual National Day celebrations today. There was the usual military parades and speeches, but regular citizens also mobilized to donate blood and give food to the troops. Moki Edwin Kenzeka has more from Yaoundé.
Cameroon is a country at a war. That was clear from National Day celebrations in the capital. Hundreds of youths sang in front of President Paul Biya. If it weren't for the military, they sang, their country would have been seized by Boko Haram. Cameroon has deployed more than 8,000 soldiers to the north to fight the Nigerian terrorist group. In hospitals around Yaoundé, people have been donating blood all week for wounded soldiers. Among them is 19-year-old university student Julien Jock.
Bon, j'ai pensé qu'il était bien de faire ce don à défaut d'être.
Jock says she cannot go to the front, but she can make this modest contribution. She says she was moved when she saw wounded soldiers, some with amputated legs. Cameroon says it currently needs at least 400,000 pints of blood and that shortages are forcing medical staff to stop work to give blood for urgent cases. 60-year-old Alvin Vogo could not donate for health reasons.
Pour ceux qui ne peuvent pas, des gens comme moi qui ne peuvent pas participer sur le plan financier, on prie pour que la paix revienne.
She says she is praying instead for peace to return and soldiers to come back healthy. She says Cameroon is losing too many people. Boko Haram began attacking northern Cameroon in 2014. Suicide bombings and raids continue. The military says it is struggling to meet the needs of both the soldiers and the over 200,000 displaced people that have sought refuge at camps and host communities in the north.
Quand nous sommes au front et que nous savons que derrière il y a la population, nous avons plus d'émulation, nous avons plus
de... Military spokesman Colonel Didier Bajek says support from the population motivates the troops. He says even poor villagers have contributed bunches of plantains. Pastors and imams have prayed for the soldiers, and all political parties, without exception, came out to support them Friday. The government says it has also received over $6 million in donations from the population in the past 2 years to support the fight against Boko Haram. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
The World Meteorological Organization reports that in April, a new monthly record was set for high temperatures on land and the ocean, indicating that global warming may be happening at a faster pace than previously predicted. Lisa Schlein reports from WMO headquarters in Geneva.
The World Meteorological Organization has issued a number of alarming reports on the state of the climate in recent days. The report on record-setting temperatures indicates April marked the 12th month in a row in which temperature records have been broken. WMO spokeswoman Claire Nullis says this is the longest such streak in 137 years in which records have been shattered.
What's particularly concerning is the margin which these records are being broken. They're not being broken, they're being smashed, and on a fairly consistent basis.
The U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, reports the combined average temperature over global land and ocean surfaces for April was 1.10 degrees Celsius above the 20th century average. Nullis says this is a very big margin and explains the warmth in Arctic areas over large parts of Russia.
The heat that we saw in 2015 hit the headlines at the time. We were alarmed about it. The heat that we're seeing in 2016, it makes 2015 pale by comparison.
A major factor contributing to scorching temperatures around the world was the powerful El Niño weather phenomenon. WMO reports El Niño, which triggers severe drought, heavy rains, and other extreme weather conditions, is fading rapidly and probably will give way later in the year to La Niña, which has a cooling influence. WMO's Claire Nullis, however, cautions against raising hopes that El Niño's departure will result in a better turnaround anytime soon.
The impacts of El Niño, and particularly the drought, they will carry on for many months. So, for instance, Southern Africa is particularly badly affected by drought, and their main rainy season is not going to come now for a number of months. So what the humanitarian agencies call the lean season in Southern Africa will be very, very lean.
The WMO says the main driving force behind unprecedented warmth is global warming, caused by human emissions of greenhouse gases. The agency is urging the rapid implementation of the Paris Climate Change Agreement to head off the worst. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiz Wuhib in Washington. For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC. For all other listeners, please stay tuned for the sunny side of sports. And thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
When news breaks,
VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.